Good evening, denizens of Internet Wonderland. I hope my voice finds you well. Welcome back to my home. This is Cheshire's Place. As always, I am your host, the melodious one, Mr. Cheshire. You can always find me in my small corner of Internet Wonderland by clicking a like on the Facebook group page, Cheshire's Place, a looking glass in a logical madness. You can listen to this episode and all of the content on anchor.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and many other platforms. And if you ever feel like dropping a line, saying hi, or giving any thoughts or suggestions for upcoming episodes, feel free to email me at CheshireLookingGlass@gmail.com, or you can follow me on Twitter at @PlaceCheshire. So, hopefully everyone understands the concept of seeing shows and events that just keep you on your toes, from concerts to different sporting events. Things like that really gets people excited. Well, last night, the Looking Glass crew, we all decided to go to Bismarck for WWE Saturday Night main event. And for us, it was a lot of first. I mean, for myself and D-Twizzle and Miss Stitch, it was our first time going to a WWE live event. For D-Twizzle, there was a lot of firsts, which we'll probably get into a little bit later. But I figured that tonight we actually review the show and discuss some of the highs of it, some of the lows, and just the overall consensus. Then we're going to go into our predictions for Extreme Rules 2022, which will be happening this Saturday, October 8th, on the Peacock Network. Or as some people will probably say, and I know Monkey will probably say this, you know, gotta stream it on the cock. Which, by the way, I'm going to go ahead and enact all this fun stuff right now. We will be using the Sammy Sunshine Clause, which at any given point in time, we will be coughing, clearing our voices, all that fun stuff. And also the Ally Simple Clause, because we will probably be using some very colorful adult language. So if you're under the age of 18, or if you happen to have small children around, please be advised of what we're about to say. Because we're not about to apologize for anything on this show. So, it is time to introduce our wonderful cast of characters that is part of the Looking Glass crew. Wow, I can't even talk today. Starting off with the man on my left. You know him, you love him. He is my brother from another mother. He is my hetero life mate. He is my ride or die. He is the man, the myth, the legend, Monkey. Monkey, how's it going?
Oh, it's going. How about you, Cheshire?
Oh, after yesterday, it's going lovely.
I'll show you lovely.
Now,
we're
not discussing AEW shows, man. Come on. God, it already starts. The second person I'm going to introduce is the First Lady of the Looking Glass. She is my other half, my better half. She is one third of the Sirens Trio, which you're going to have to take a look at for season 6 for the Cheat List Volume 3, which will probably be one of the first episodes that'll come up. She is the one and only Miss Sally Stitch. How's it going, Sally?
It's going great. How are you doing?
Doing fantastic. Then, of course, the final individual to my right. He is the Lothario. Oh, wait. Almost messed up his introduction. Wow, it's been a while since we had to do this because he hasn't been with us on a couple of shows. He is the International Lothario of the Silver Stage. He is our Silver Tongue Devil. He is the sexual chocolate of Internet Wonderland, titillizing the juices of all the women's pleasures, especially his secret admirer that just messaged me on Facebook saying how attractive he is. He is the one and only D Twizzle. How's it going, D?
Hey, I'm doing good. Doing good.
So, folks, we had quite an adventure for Saturday night main event.
Yes, we did. It was quite the adventure.
It was very fun. There was a lot of first. I mean, overall, we got tons of pictures.
Some good videos.
Some very good videos of certain things. Yes, Sally will probably explain that part.
What if my mom listens to this?
What if my mom listens to this?
I don't know if my mom listens to this at all.
Yeah. I think they'll understand.
Yes.
But without, you know, spoiling anything right now, I mean, it was definitely fun.
Yes.
I mean, we got to see a good show. We got to go on a little bit of adventuring. I mean, D-Twizzle, I mean, you finally made it out of Minot and actually got to Bismarck.
Yeah, I know. After almost 20 months being here, never been to Bismarck, ever.
Well, now, you made it.
Yes, I have. Put that off the bucket list.
So, before we do start, I mean, Monkey, been looking into the news recently?
Vaguely, what are we looking at?
Well, I was thinking more if you had anything for your specialized segment, seeing how, you know,
just that they announced on SmackDown.
So, how about we don't go into a direct Monkey Coconut news, but we'll go ahead and discuss what occurred.
Sad. Okay. Well, this is not Monkey Coconut news, but I am Monkey. So as many have probably heard by now, and if you watched SmackDown this last Friday, they did announce the passing of the great Antonio Inoki, who many people may remember and know as the founder of New Japan Pro Wrestling. Many other things about him were that he had done a lot of cross-promotion, basically ushering in what would become known as, you know, mixed martial arts that we know today. And he had many matches that did end up becoming shoot matches, and he has been known as one of the greater shooters in pro wrestling, including him having a match one time in 1976 against Pakistani collegiate wrestler, Akram Pulhalwin, I want to say.
Yeah.
And which that match actually did break down into a shoot fight, which Inoki did end up winning with a double wrist lock, to which the referee even later was like, yeah, that match did not go at all how it was supposed to go. Going back to the whole ushering in of mixed martial arts, he did have a famous match against Muhammad Ali at one point, to which a lot of people have at one point or another probably stated that that match is what probably kind of led down to Muhammad Ali's later years of his health issues that he had with his legs and whatnot, because that match broke down into a very, very, I would say, physical fight more than a match.
That would be right on, honestly.
They had set stipulations in the match where Muhammad Ali, being the boxer, they made a rule that Tony Inoki was allowed to do kicks in the match, but they all had to be below the waist, to which the majority of his kicks ended up being like leg sweep style kicks, to which Muhammad Ali took a lot of damage to his legs.
Yeah.
Other things about Antonio Inoki, he was a well-known politician in Japan. His political career, he was in office from 1989 to 1995 as part of the Sports and Peace Party. And then in 2013, he was part of the Japan Restoration Party from 2013 to 2014. In 2014 to 2015, he was part of the Party for Future Generations. 2015 to 2016, he was part of the Assembly to Energize Japan. 2016. And then in 2016 to 2019, he was part of the Independence Club. And then in 2019, he was part of the Democratic Party for the People. Also, a little known fact is that Antonio Inoki did convert to Muslim, and had changed his name legally to... Where did it go? I saw it at one point. I want to say it was Muhammad Hassan Inoki, or Hussein Inoki. So, yeah. Yes, and that was in recognition of Muhammad Ali and other things as under those notions. He also was one of the ones who did set up the big... was it Worlds Collide?
Or? So he set up Worlds Collide at one point.
Yes, the initial New Japan and WCW matches that took place in North Korea.
Yep.
Because he had political ties to North Korea, considering that he was trained by...
Ricky Chosen.
Ricky Chosen, thank you. I couldn't remember off the top of my head what his name was, but who was... a lot of people knew him as a famous Japanese wrestler, but Ricky Chosen was actually from North Korea.
Yep.
So that is all the big news information that I have. again, Antonio Inoki was one time known as a WWE, WWF heavyweight champion, but they ended up stripping him of the title because, again, that was another, I believe it was a shoot that he ended up getting the title in.
Yeah.
And so he got the title and that, so but then like not even a week after he was stripped of the title. So he was world champion, but it was not recognized by WWE till current day. And that is why he's also one of the recognized WWE Hall of Famers as well.
Yes. So on behalf of everyone here at the Looking Glass and, you know, just condolences to Antonio Inoki's family, he will be missed.
Yes.
You know, you can actually take a look at how many people were influenced by Inoki's style of wrestling. You know, he's a legend.
Yes. Including infamous video that you can probably find on YouTube still, where I believe it was his last day as being New Japan's CEO or whatever.
Yeah.
And everybody that was part of the New Japan roster, including just staff members / referees, anything else, not just the wrestlers, lined up for what they called an honor slap.
Yeah.
to which Inoki honest slapped many people, and there was, you could see the line going from the ring all the way up the entry ramp of everyone that wanted just the honor of being honor slapped by Antonio Inoki.
Now, the idea of the honor slap, for those who don't know, it's instilling fighting spirit into the individuals that are willing to receive it. I mean, Antonio Inoki did this for his Bombay events for New Japan, which were big hits during the time. And, you know, there are tons of videos of him honor slapping the hell out of people. But yet you see afterwards the camaraderie from everyone that's involved in the shows, because they were just unified. It's almost like acceptance into a brotherhood. So, all right, folks, let us discuss WWE Saturday Night main event that came live from Bismarck, North Dakota. Now,
yes,
we're going to run down the events that occurred during the show. So everyone's going to have their own take on what they liked on the matches, what they didn't like, you know, what was exciting, what wasn't exciting, so on and so forth. So we do have to start off with the first match, which was surprising to me, that it was a title match for the WWE Unified Tag Team Championships.
Yes.
Which put the Usos versus Alpha Academy, Chad Gable and Otis. So we're actually going to do this round table first and then give an overall consensus. So, Monkey, starting off with you, what did you think of the match overall?
Well, it was a very intriguing match. As many people will know in the wrestling world, both teams are what would be considered heel teams. And, of course, the way the crowds kind of got swayed one way or another was the Alpha Academy came out doing the heel heat of insulting the crowd, insulting the city, all that, to which basically left the Usos as the babyface team in this match. Mm-hmm. And they got a huge ovation when they came out, and it was a very good match. They worked it very classic tag team style, where heels would take down one member of the babyface team and continue beating them down until they got the hat tag, and then, you know, got the comeback and then the cutoff, and then going into the finish of it. So it was very entertaining. Crowd was very into it. A lot of people were probably really excited because of the fact that it was a championship match that wasn't advertised as one of the matches that a lot of people were expecting for that night. So
yes, definitely, definitely. All right, so Miss Stitch, what did you think of the match? I mean, especially from the point of view of being a first-timer coming in to watching a WWE live event.
I didn't know what to expect at all. And so when I saw, like, I just got swept up in it. And it was great. I didn't realize that, like, yeah, both of them are heel teams. So, like, that when we're talking about it afterwards, I was like, oh, yeah. Right, but I don't even remember that first part, because it was just like, wait, what's going on? And then I was also just intrigued by those kids. They were just awesome.
Oh my god, those kids were on point the entire night.
Until they got confused, they didn't know which was who.
Yeah, that was the kids that were like two rows above us, but mm-hmm. the kids but that the were ground level. Oh, God, yeah. All right, so D-Twizzle, what was your thought about the match?
No, I thought it was really cool. It's a good way to start everything off. You know, and I think it's always impressive when they do get some of the bigger people to come out to, like, those type of events and stuff, you know, because it's not like you have the whole roster there. I imagine they just go to the locker room and be like, hey, we're going to be going up to Bismarck, North Dakota. Yeah, I know. It's within the United States. But how many of you guys here in the locker room want to go? Let's see. I got 1, 2, 3. Let's see. Your contract, you have to go. And, you know.
Well, but all of them are contracted. So yeah. That's just, you know, part of their deal. They have to tour.
Yeah. They're like, you will come to Bismarck. They're like, oh, okay. All right. But no, it was fun. I mean, they came in, you know, they did what they needed to do, and, you know, and it was amazing. You know, the crowd got all behind them and everything, and, you know, you definitely, even if they are like the champions and stuff, like you said, they are playing like the hills and everything, but, No, it was good. It was really good. You know, you can look at the Alpha Academy, and they're definitely fun people to hate for sure. So I enjoyed it a lot.
So I do have to say that overall, that match was just amazing for a good opening match.
And as a quick side note, you could tell it, even Jey Uso was kind of like,
oh, yeah.
Where are the baby faces? He was kind of like, I don't know how to react to people cheering me after all this time of me being the heel.
So. Right.
Right.
Now, there is one thing that we forgot to mention, and that's Brian Saxon.
Yes, was the...
Because he was the announcer, and he was the hype man for the entire thing. Yes. And he did a damn good job of getting everyone pumped.
Yeah, no, he did a really good job.
And, like, just the energy off of him.
Yeah.
Was just amazing. So he did it. You know, shout out to Brian Saxon. I mean, yeah, on TV, you play an absolute Oreo of a dunce. But, you know, brother, congratulations, man. That was simply amazing. Like, honestly. But, you know, back to my point of view for this match. I mean, yeah, Jey had no damn clue.
Yeah, Jey was like... I didn't know we were gonna get this kind of reaction. Okay.
But the crowd was with them the entire time, and thanks to Monkey for starting off the majority of all the chants.
I yeah, got the right. I was the hype man in the crowd, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, thank you for snaking out of your shirt like that. That was amazing too.
Yes, I did. Good job of that. No,
no, no, no, talking about
Jey. So Jey, so there was a spot where Jey pretty much snaked and breakdanced out of his shirt, and that got a misstitch feeling a certain type of way. So there's going to be quite a few more moments like that while we're discussing this show. So if
I'm very called out already.
It's okay. You'll probably talk about all these choices on Cheat List Volume 3 anyways.
Like, so I saw a guy at this show.
And it wasn't Bismarck. That kind of show. No. It was right. A different kind of show.
It was like he was doing it for me. He looked in my general direction, which...
Anyways, Monkey, did you find anything negative about that match?
I think there was one spot. Looks like something might have kind of gone a little awry, but it wasn't... very noticeable unless you were watching very, very closely. Like, it was like, kind of like a weird slip of a, I want to say during one of the, it was a, during an Irish Whip one, and it looked like that.
Oh, is that the one with Jimmy and Otis?
I think
like
it
closer
was.
To the we're, beginning, yeah.
Yeah, it looked like it was supposed to kind of throw him to the corner, but it looks like
it just
they kind of went weird, and
yeah.
they end up just doing it kind of to the side of the ring.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And think they did cut down on a couple of the leg slapping during the show because it wasn't as audible as it is normally on some of the shows.
Yeah, but whenever, and of course, you know, for myself and Monkey, we've been in the business, we've been in the ring. We noticed when certain shots were hitting, certain ones weren't hitting. Yeah. But, you know, for everyone else, I mean, they're just caught up in everything.
Yeah.
So, Miss Stitch, did you find anything wrong with the match? Anything noticeable? Anything that caught your attention? You're too busy just enjoying Jey.
Yeah.
And Jimmy whenever he used the hip attack on Gable.
Yep.
So, if the Usos...
I also don't know all the technical things like you guys. So sure. How would I know if
I don't know anything
wrong?
Technical.
But anyways, Jimmy and Jey, you probably wind up on Miss Stitch's list for the Cheat List Volume 3. So if somehow you do listen to this this wonderful podcast, which I did put out the information on Twitter along with the picture of all of us, you know, you'll know. But anyways, D Twizzle, did you find anything wrong with this match?
No, not at all. It was pretty good. You know, I couldn't really find anything that really stood out. I think the crowd excitement was definitely played a huge factor. So, and it didn't, you know, detract from the match or anything like that either. So it was actually a pretty good solid match right out the gate.
All right.
Yes.
And I mean, aside from the stuff that we already mentioned, yeah. I mean, it all around, it was a damn good match.
Yes, definitely.
It was amazing. It was fun. It was energetic. You know, Usos got the pin, of course.
Yeah.
Because they're the undisputed champions, and it's very, very, very rare when a championship is going to switch hands during a house show.
Right.
With the exception of the 24/7 title, which will probably switch hands multiple times during a house show if it's, you know, shown.
Surprisingly enough, wasn't on the show, so.
Yeah. It probably was up in Saskatchewan.
Regina?
Yeah. Because the SmackDown crew was there at the same time that this crew.
Technically, it's still on the Raw right now, but last I remember, it was on, what's her face?
Dana Brooke.
Yeah, that lady. That girl.
All right, so the next match that we have to talk about in this one was... Wait, what you got?
The after effect of the match, though, when the Usos were leaving, it was very noticeable that Jay was trying to maintain the, you know, the thug aspect of the
yeah, the bloodline.
But you could tell Jimmy was definitely having up babyface style. He was getting to the crowd at ringside, you know, high-fiving and all that. Jay kind of was doing the walk down with the one up in the air.
Jimmy was smacking heads and kissing babies. So.
Pretty much. Smacking babies and kissing hands. Yep.
Yep. Oh. Yep, definitely.
I have to mention, Miss Itch, the jumpy tag.
Yep.
There's the moment I was just like, you can see it. They're like jumpy tag. They're going to go do the jumpy tag.
It was just exciting.
You were the weirdos that were there.
Yeah.
Making fun of things, too.
Exactly. They're providing colorful color commentary.
Yeah, quite a few people were looking at us, but we really didn't give a damn.
No. Yeah.
It was fun. It was
especially
just
when I realized that I knew the person sitting in front of us.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later, too. But anyways, the second match that we have to talk about is Kevin Owens versus Austin Theory.
Yes.
Now, before the show actually started, there was a video vignette with Austin Theory pretty much running down Kevin Owens and that he's going to beat him and then move on to become the youngest undisputed champion, blah, blah, blah. The same spiel that he always gives every show.
His current spiel gimmick, yes.
Yeah. Now, Monkey, we're going to start with you, man. Did you like the match?
It was very, I want to say, it was a match. It was a good match, but I could say this much that it was obviously a very commonly rehearsed match that they've done before. Mm. So you can tell, looking at the match, yes, it was nothing majorly different, but it was still entertaining to see live.
Okay, yeah. All right, Miss Stitch, what did you think of the match?
I thought it was amazing to see Kevin Owens do his cannonball in person.
Yes. Yep.
Like I said, that's basically
and to get to boo Austin Theory was great as well.
My God, the kids booing him.
They were having fun.
God.
He was picking a fight with like a 12-year-old, and it was just like...
I think the 12-year-old could have taken him.
I think he almost would have.
He would have. Oh, man. All right, D2S, what do you think?
No, actually, you know, now that I think about it, you know what you were saying, Monkey, it does make sense. You did get the sense that there was a little bit of, like, rehearsiveness about
it. It's the same match that they've had several times before, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, because, see, that was kind of like, and that was what, like, the first match. The first match, you didn't get the sense of, hey, we've gone through some of these moves and stuff and rehearsed some of this stuff. Felt more natural, but that one did. Even with the aspect of like Kevin Owens just kind of getting his butt kicked for a little bit, and I was like, "What? Okay, all right." I mean, I guess you gotta give Austin a little bit of something, but you know, he ends up winning the match, and you know, then he did, and I was just like, "Oh, I thought there'd be you know more of a grandiose finish, but huh?"
You know, honestly, I enjoyed the match because I'm a big Kevin Owens fan. You know, love him, hate him, I'm still a fan. And Austin has shown a lot of his skills in the ring.
Oh, yeah. For his age, he is a future Hall of Famer.
Yes, definitely.
Easily, unless, you know, he has something really, really dumb. But
now, granted, the match that they did, if you really take a look at it on paper, they did this match 2 weeks ago on Raw.
Yep.
The entire thing, the sneak attack from behind, the... You know, Owens rallying up, the crowd getting behind him, the bell rings, and they just start going. Mm-hmm. You know, same match, but in a way to me, honestly, it was a little bit of a better match than what was on Raw due to the fact that we got to see it live. And just feeling the energy and being able to chant for Owens.
Yes.
And yeah, seeing a 12-year-old ready to rip off Austin's head, it was glorious.
Though there was a really great spot, though, Austin Theory, when he did the He usually does like the roll through to like a jump drop kick or a DDT. But then he ended up doing like that blockbuster that was pretty hot. I popped for it. I was like, okay, that was good.
Yeah, that was we're just gonna say it. That was sexy.
Yes,
right. That was a very sexy move.
That's monkey approved.
Yep. That was a very sexy move. Just seeing him do that roll going into the blockbuster. See, the thing is about live shows, they get to experiment with new moves, and we get to see them first before they put it on TV.
Oh, yeah.
So we may see that move again on TV, and we'll be like, you know what? We saw that shit first. Mm-hmm. So, Monkey, is there anything in the match that you didn't like?
Other than the fact that, like we said earlier, it was essentially the same match that they had on Raw a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. But other than that, again, it was entertaining. Excuse me. It was entertaining, and it was, you know, great to see. And again, the babyface went over, which kept the crowd happy, and that was what it needed to do.
All right, Miss Stitch, was there anything in the match that you didn't like?
Nope. No, it was like I said, I don't know much about technical, all that stuff, but for it being my first show, seeing something live, like. Was great. I had the best time the whole night.
All right, D-Twizzle, is there anything with the match that you didn't like?
No, nothing I didn't like. You know, I think I was probably more surprised more than anything because I saw the vignette and I thought, well, I didn't think he would actually come out, so imagine my surprise. And then getting the pop for Kevin Owens, that too was also a surprise as well because I didn't know anybody who was like on the card or anything, so. But no, I enjoyed it. Like you said, I didn't know they might have done something similar on the previous match. But I think probably my only thing is I guess I was expecting just a little bit more offense out of Kevin Owens than what I saw. But I'm probably, like I said, it's probably how they, you know, drew it up and everything.
So it is. So if you pay attention to most matches, depending on how certain things go, if the heel is more offensive heavy, especially against someone that is a very well-known babyface, 9 out of 10 times the babyface is going to win.
Yeah.
So it makes sense for Austin to really be getting that heat, especially in front of that in front of our crowd.
Yeah.
Because everyone was eating it up. So, overall for me, as I mentioned before, seen the match 2 weeks ago.
Right.
You know, that's my only thing. But yet, for what it was still an amazing match.
Right.
You know, the cannonball, Austin's rollout into the blockbuster, just the teases of Austin leaving, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's all stuff that really baits you in and become invested in the match. Yes. Then, folks, we got to be part of something special.
Yes, very special, very something.
The lights went out. Jefferson's airplane started playing over the speakers. And then the red light came on.
Yep.
The tease of the White Rabbit.
Yes.
And being there with all of the cell phone lights on, creating the fireflies, it was haunting, just hearing the vocals.
Yeah, they definitely took the music out.
It was just straight vocals. There was no music playing, which is why a lot of people keep saying that, you know, White Rabbit played, but no one else has said that it was just vocals. There's no actual music in the background.
Yeah.
So it's essentially like a karaoke or a cappella version minus, you know, actual musical portion of it. It's just the vocals.
Exactly. What did you think of it, Miss Stitch?
I love that song. I was singing the whole time in your ear. I'm sorry.
I was too kind. Okay.
But overall, I mean, just for this segment and knowing that it's the tease of the White Rabbit and seeing the fireflies and, you know, just the eeriness of just the vocals alone and how powerful it was and how everyone was cheering after everything was done.
Yes. And as I posted on my Facebook account, kind of as my little update to the show, I was like, okay, so they did the White Rabbit segment. We had the Fireflies, and then the ring, they did the red spotlight on the ring. So either A, the tease for Bray Wyatt is very strong, or B, WWE is trolling us very hardcore.
You know what? I think it's a little bit of A, a little bit of B, honestly. Because I have a feeling that it will be Bray.
But will it be Bray?
I mean, it could be the Eater of Worlds. It could be Firefly, Funhouse.
No.
It could be The Fiend, or it could be, you know, it could be fucking Husky Harris, for all I know.
Wearing... No, I'm joking about the whole, you remember when they did the, oh, they're characters, you know, anybody can play the part.
Yeah, let's
it's like, not... this is Bray Wyatt. It's like, dude, that's Veer Mahan.
Oh, God. Anyways. Wow. So, from the White Rabbit tease, which I think all of us can agree, that was just...
Yes. Pretty cool.
It was amazing, but at the same time, it was very ominous, too.
Yes.
I mean, damn.
Exactly. You made Bismarck and North Dakota into a cult. Thanks a lot, WWE. Thanks.
And we shall follow. Yeah, true. Yeah, true. But anyways, we do have to go to the next match, which was R-Truth versus
Shawn Benjamin. Whoa, you jumped way far.
Oh, wait, well, wait.
First.
I did skip one, didn't I?
First, we have a message from our sponsors.
Yes.
Yeah.
There was a Ms. TV segment.
Yep. You know what? I forgot about Ms. Wow. TV.
How could you forget about that?
Yeah.
You know, I shouldn't have forgot because I'm also looking at my notes here from online and... But
I have no notes.
But for some reason, the notes online didn't even mention Miz and Dolph.
Well, maybe they got mixed up on later.
Maybe I should just, like,
that's why look at the pictures. That's why you shouldn't pay attention to people's notes. People don't know what the hell they're talking about.
But, yeah, we did have a Miz TV segment.
Well, we did, but we didn't.
Yeah. Let's just say, now, everyone knows that the biggest trope with Miz is his minuscule testicles. His tatty balls.
Yes.
Whenever you hear an entire crowd of kids start chanting Tiny Balls, and once again, Monkey, thank you for starting off that chant originally.
Actually, that one I didn't start. I did start the second chant, though.
Yeah.
The one that, Dolph kind of started, yeah.
So, the thing is, we alluded to these kids being red hot the entire time. They just went off on the Miz. All of a sudden, you just hear tiny balls, and everyone, it just overswelled. Monkey, what was your thought on this specific part?
Well, I will say this much. It was entertaining, but I'm not a fan of the tiny balls chat. I think it's just, it is too kiddish for me, but, you know, I got pulled into it too. I ain't gonna lie, but yeah, it was entertaining.
Multiple times.
I
think
I had 30. To help people. Yeah. People, they were dying, you know.
All right. Miss Stitch, what do you think of that segment? Just the heat that Miz put on himself.
I never thought I would chat tiny balls that many times in one night.
True. All right, D-Twizzle.
I mean, almost for a minute there, I actually forgot. I'm like, how did this even come? Oh, wait, that's right. Freaking Logan Paul with this influence.
It was before that.
What? I thought Logan Paul was...
No, it was way before Logan Paul.
Oh, man.
The tiny ball stuff was way before Logan Paul.
Oh, he must have just really enhanced it with his influence powers.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
His social influenceability.
Now,
curse you, Logan Paul.
With Miz being out there for a Miz TV segment, pretty much saying, you know what, Bismarck doesn't deserve a Miz TV. It doesn't deserve a guest. You know, he's going to run home, blah, 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 and pretty much the kids running him down. That called out Dolph Ziggler.
Yes.
And Dolph came out, and then the second chant of the night started.
Yes, which was Dolph calls him by his real name, which is Mike. You know, Mike Mizanin, the Miz, he called him Mike. And then, of course, to which the Miz replies, I am not Mike, I'm the Miz. To which then I helped the crowd get into the mic chant. So.
Yeah, mic chant.
And it went off from there. When Miz looked in our general direction and asked, are you done yet?
Yes.
No, we're not. And it just
like, not yet. Not quite.
So that just getting that acknowledgement, even though he couldn't see it was us, he just saw in the general direction. I mean, still, that was fun.
Oh, he looked directly at me. He was looking at me. I'm like,
right, Ad Monkey.
Come forth.
All right, I bring can take it. You on. I got this.
I will kick you in your shin.
Also, when he tried to throw the chair out and it bounced off the
yep.
back in.
So that led to the match for this segment, which was Dolph Ziggler versus The Miz. So, Monkey, what did you think about this match?
Very good match. Again, seeing Dolph wrestle live, and The Miz is very entertaining. You know, hate him or love him, you know, he is entertaining to watch, and he knows how to get the crowd riled up.
Yes.
And he was doing everything he was supposed to do. It was very good. There was a spot that you could tell he kind of flubbed outside of the when he tried to throw his chair out of the ring. But other than that, there was one spot where he messed up his normal like little clothesline in the corner where he lands on the ropes. But yeah. Other than that, went very flawlessly. Very good to see.
Yeah. Miss Stitch, what did you think of the match?
I enjoyed it a lot, but I wish Dexter Lumis would have been there.
Oh yeah.
So we do have to admit
I know. I kept looking at the crowd like
we wanted Dexter to be at the show, but unfortunately there was no Ciampa, there was no Dexter Lumis. I mean, fine, understandable. We just hoped.
Yeah.
We really hoped. D Twizzle, what were your thoughts on Ziggler versus The Miz?
No, I liked it. And Ziggler comes out with like the whole I don't know what you call it, the whole 80s vibe, you know, with the music and all the bright colors and everything.
Right.
And now he's like the type of person who's like, he just looks like he loves what he's doing. You know, yeah. Even like after the match, he's just all running around in circles, high-fiving and jumping up. So I'm like, man, this guy really loves his job. And same thing with The Miz. The Miz, you know, I like how he's able to like really play it up. You know, you can tell like, oh, this doesn't really get to me, but it does. But he just has that amazing audience type of vibe, and I feel like for a house show, that's like the perfect time for it. Feels like the cameras isn't on you, so you feel like you don't get the sense that they're being like rushed into a lot of things, so
right?
It feels like they can be more, you know, intimate with the fans, and that's what I enjoyed. I like the fact that he's able to like talk, and I'm like, man, they're giving him a lot of time to just do his own little thing, which is pretty cool because you don't really see that when you're watching like the regular Raw and SmackDown stuff.
Right. Now, the thing is about having smaller shows, and I discussed this yesterday, it's more of a relaxed environment. It's like Independence. It's very fun. You know, it isn't anything that has to be like rushed, thankfully.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they still have their time limits and everything, but they get to have more fun. It's more interactive, as you saw. Now, my opinion of this entire match, A, it was amazing.
Yes.
You know, seeing Dolph wrestle, and I mean actually show the technical aspect, mm-hmm. you know, and showing his skills and everything. And there was a couple of other small spots that he messed up on, but eh. But also seeing Miz get the heat on himself, you know, from when he was trying to take off his coat to him doing the Rick Rude grind, doing the Macho Man finger, the ooh, yeah, that which thing.
He was only doing because there was a guy in the crowd dressed up as Macho Man.
Which was amazing.
Yeah.
And when that guy walked in, everyone was cheering for him before the show started. So whoever that dude is, good on you, sir. Good on you.
See, now that would have been the perfect cover for Dexter Lumis to come in like that.
No, Ken. That
would have been the perfect cover for him, but no.
Yeah, he wasn't with us.
It made me sad.
Yeah. But, you know, overall, I love the match. There was a lot of good stuff with it. Monkey, is there anything in the match that you disliked?
Not really. Like I said, you know, we saw the flubs in there. And, you know, they played everything up. And it went pretty well. And again, it was entertaining. The crowd was drawn into this match. This match was probably one of the most, I guess you could say, crowd interactive matches, because it was really weird that that some of the other later parts matches weren't as crowd interactive. You know, because people were kind of like, I don't know whether they were just kind of falling apart or.
Right.
It was just they were good matches, but yeah, this one was probably one of the ones that had the most interaction.
Yeah.
And I think that was mostly because of The Miz, because he is so great at pulling in the crowd. You know, love him or hate him, he's got that charisma to keep people in on it.
It was the tiny balls.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what kept it in.
Yeah.
The tiny balls kept in. Yep. They didn't get out. They just stayed in.
Yeah. Now we do have to talk about R-Truth versus Shelton Benjamin.
Yes.
So...
there was an intermission first, and then
there would be a halftime.
Here, while we have a moment, we're going to take a small little break, and then when we come back, we're going to discuss the second half of the show.
Yes,
and then our predictions for Extreme Rules.
Yes,
and yeah, we'll be right back.
Lies of slander.
Cheshire's Place, A Looking Glass and a Logical Madness. So, we just came back from our intermission to talk about the match after the intermission.
Yes.
Which was R-Truth versus Shelton Benjamin.
Yes. Which was very good to see Shelton Benjamin. I think this is the first match he's had forever. I think he just came back from an injury. So.
And it's kind of crazy because, you know, just seeing them, like R-Truth and Shelton live, was just, it was a fun match.
Yes.
It was a very fun match. And seeing R-Truth come out and rap his entire intro and, you know, the little spot that he did prior to the match, you know, talking about his childhood hero, John Cena.
Yes.
Even though R-Truth is older than John Cena.
Yes.
So that was extremely fun, and how he got the crowd involved when Shelton came out and everything. I mean, you know, that was all just extremely well done. But Monkey, what did you like about the match?
I found it to be very entertaining, and it was good to see both guys in action, because, you know, a lot of people don't realize that R-Truth is a former NWA heavyweight champion.
Yeah.
Under his real name of Ron Killings. So he can go in the ring. And we all know that Shelton Benjamin is a collegiate athlete, and he's just phenomenal in everything he does. So it was a great match to see live.
Yes, yes, yes. Miss Stitch, what did you think about the match?
I thought it was a lot of fun. It was a really good match to get people back into it after the break.
Yeah.
It was fun. Yeah. It was another one of those where you got swept up in the moment.
Oh, yeah, definitely. All right, D-Twizzle, what did you think of it?
No, I was very surprised, to say the least. Did not expect Shelton Benjamin, of all people, to come out, you know. And I knew him from, you know, way back when I really used to follow WWE, so it was pretty cool to actually see him out and about. And I'm like, man, this dude's actually pretty jacked. So I'm like, thinking to myself, I'm like, with him, you know, with the whole Hurt Locker thing, that was probably like the most last time I actually even saw him perform.
Oh, you mean the Hurt Business?
Yeah, the Hurt Business. Yeah, the Hurt Business. Yeah. Yeah, that whole, you know, that whole thing. So I thought it was just really good to see him out there. Same thing with like R-Truth and stuff. You know, it's like, you know, he's definitely what you would call the entertaining side of the business. So, you know, I think they knew exactly what they were doing by booking him out there, because he's the type of person where stuff like that could really, you know, help for like house shows especially.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, by far, I mean, it was just a very fun match. You know, the energy was always up with those two. I mean, Shelton definitely showing his athleticism. He definitely hasn't missed a beat since been gone. And just seeing R-Truth live, you know, that was always a fun thing. Now, R-Truth did pick up the win.
Yes, which is, again, surprising.
Yeah, because if you take a look at what he does on TV, he doesn't pick up many wins.
Right.
He's more upper mid card, but he's also more or less of someone that is that helps younger talent.
Yes.
So, all right, Monkey.
Yes.
Was there anything that you disliked in the match?
Not particularly. Like I said, it was entertaining. It did what it needed to do. It got the crowd back into it. Everyone was hyped up. The crowd was definitely into it. They loved R-Truth because, you know, R-Truth is just that lovable. And, again, Shelton Benjamin, very, very entertaining to watch in the ring. And, you know, I consider that to be one of those very star attractions that you don't really get to see. People don't really give Shelton Benjamin the credit he deserves, you know, because a lot of people don't really realize how great this guy is. And for his age, he's still just going like nothing's happened since last time.
I was saying, he's what, 47?
He's in his, I want to say, at least early 40s, if not, you know, late 30s at the youngest. But
let's find out.
Yeah, because
let's find out. All right, Miss Stitch, is there anything that you disliked about the match?
No, I mean, I didn't even know who was wrestling halfway through. I didn't know who R-Truth was or anything.
Yeah,
I didn't know his name or anything until you guys started chanting it. And I was like, oh, okay.
He's 47 years old. Okay. Shelton's 47. But how old is R-Truth? Because I know he's in his 50s.
Yeah, R-Truth is up there too.
You wouldn't like R-Truth has been around for a while. I mean, whenever he was K-Quick.
Yep.
In WWE, and then he went to the Independents, and he was what was it?
Under his real name, Ron Killings, I believe.
Well, before that, he was also something else. K-Crush. He was K-Crush for a while. And then he went to TNA whenever it was part of NWA under Ron the Truth Killings.
Yeah.
All right, D-Twizzle, was there anything in the match that you disliked?
No, I actually enjoyed it. You know, I had the utmost respect for both of those guys. So it was kind of like a nostalgia trip for me seeing those guys back out there and stuff, you know. So, you know, R-Truth's always been in all those different little, you know, random matches that tend to pop up like on TV and things. So,
yeah,
he's always been somebody who, you know, he's definitely a lifer, if there was a definition of the word.
Well, just to let you know, R-Truth is 50 years old.
Yep,
50 years old.
But yeah, he doesn't look it. I mean,
I would have never thought that scene.
No, I never would have thought that either.
Like, they're both in phenomenal shape.
I had no idea who they were. I thought they were new.
No, they're definitely not new. They're lifers. Like, Shelton has been part of the WWE product for a very long time, especially when OVW was WWE developmental before FCW, the Performance Center, NXT, all that stuff. And just seeing both of them in the ring, you know, honestly, as I keep saying, it was phenomenal.
Yes.
It was excellent. I loved it. There was nothing wrong with that match whatsoever. So now we get to the first of two main events that we had.
As a quick side note, though, a lot of people don't realize this with R-Truth. There are pictures of him with Tupac and Eazy-E, so this just shows you how long he's been around.
Yeah.
Even, you know, just even as doing rap on his own before becoming a pro wrestler. So he's been around and has been around a lot of people.
Yes.
And he was a personal favorite of Vince McMahon's, you know.
Yep, they're best friends.
There was a joke where at one point they said that no matter how much R-Truth may lose and may not seem like he's that big of a deal, Vince McMahon would have never fired him again, you know, after his first initial release.
Yep, exactly.
Because he just finds him that entertaining.
So, it's time for us to talk about one of two main event matches.
Right.
The triple threat match for the Raw Women's Championship.
Yes.
Which put the champion, Bianca Belair, versus Bayley versus Tamina.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I didn't even know Tamina was going to show up. I knew Bianca was on the card. I didn't know Bayley was on the card. I didn't know Tamina was on the card. It was surprising.
Yes.
Very surprising. And overall, you know what? Let's just say, I mean, I think all of us can agree they delivered.
Right.
So, Monkey, what did you like about the match?
Well, it was very good to see this match. It was good to see Bayley and Bianca and Tamina in action. We were very entertained by Bayley.
Yes, we were.
and Bianca. And yes, Tamina was entertaining as well, but we were mostly entertained by the other two.
We're about to mention the reasons why, folks, so just hang on to your seats.
But, yeah, it went... I'm not going to say it went very, very swimmingly well, but it went very well.
Yep.
It went out to Belair retained her title because it was a title match. So that was mainly expected, but it was very, very good to watch.
All right. Miss Stitch, what did you like about the match?
You're going to make me say it.
Yes, I am.
Getting to see those butts live. Are you happy now?
Yes. Now we can comment on the elephant in the room or the asses in this match.
Yes.
How can I put this? Seeing certain superstars' physical aesthetics on TV is one thing.
Yes.
Seeing them live is another. And we had some damn good seats.
Yes.
Some damn good seats.
We weren't ringside.
No.
We weren't in nosebleed, but we were in that nice range.
The happy medium, I call it.
Where we could see everything.
Oh, my.
And, you know, seeing Miss Stitch excited to see Bianca's posterior live and in color.
Those gold pants. It was beautiful.
And hearing D Twizzle chant for Bayley, wanting to, you know.
It's like, Bayley, come over here. Come over, Bayley.
Bayley, don't feel bad. You'll pull through.
Yeah. Even to the point where we may or may not have gotten pictures of said posteriors.
Well, someone may or may not.
Maybe a video involved as well, but, you know, that's neither here nor there.
There is video.
Anyways, Bianca, Bayley, if y'all somehow come across this podcast, we're fans. Please don't try to sue us. We're just saying. But anyways, D Twizzle, what did you like about the match?
Oh man, I loved everything, especially
you loved that, everything.
Yeah, no, I definitely was like, oh crap, Bayley. Like, I didn't expect to see her there. And obviously Tamina, coming out there on stage. I mean, she was cool. But you know, then Bianca comes out there. I was like, oh wow, it's so much different when you see like in person with them doing their spiel, and it was just like, wow, she has a lot of energy and things like that. So no, it was a good match overall. Obviously, I was just there just for mainly Bianca and Bayley going at it, you know, storyline purposes and things of that nature, you know. But but yeah, no, that was a good match. It was a good match.
The other good part about it was afterwards when you got to see the little girl that was dressed as Bianca, like, get a picture with her. And
yes.
Like, oh, that was so sweet. They both spun their braids together.
Mm-hmm. That was amazing.
That was really awesome.
Now, overall, I mean, for me, the match was awesome. Just seeing Tamina.
Yes, because you don't get to see her very often anymore. And
you really don't, unless if she's like,
caught up in the 24/7 thing, basically.
Yeah, and unless if she's tagging with Natalia. And,
she's been mostly tagging with Dana Brooke, of all people, which is weird.
So, yeah,
it's like a love-hate relationship.
Yeah, it's that odd couple type deal. I mean, but overall, I mean, it was a great match.
Yes.
Yes, there were some spots.
There was one specific one.
You want to talk about that one real quick?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so there was a spot in the match. Well, there's a couple of good spots. Like, one of the good spots was at one point, Bayley did a kind of poetry in motion on Bianca in the corner and using Tamina as a stepstone. And then she told she was ushering Tamina to do it, which everyone was like, whoa, this is going to be bad. switched to me, and then end up, you know, kicking her and getting her all the way, and then doing her own thing.
Yeah.
But then there was the spot where Tamina picked up Bayley for a Samoan drop, and when she came down, I was watching very closely, and I was very scared because it looked like Bayley almost landed on her arm in the middle of that Samoan drop.
Yes.
And you could tell that the ref checked on her, like, right afterwards, and because it was that close. It was like, oh, my God, her arm is going to break if she lands on that way.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, thankfully, Bayley is all right.
Yes.
You know, no injuries occurred during the match. It was a good match. It had a lot of highs. It had a lot of lows. Miss Stitch, is there anything during the match that you didn't like?
No.
She was too enthralled. I was
transfixed.
All right. D-Twizzle.
No, the only thing that kind of stood out for me, I felt like some of the crowd energy kind of died off initially.
Yeah, this was...
Like, I always feel like it's bad when, like, the main person's, like, having to try to, like, hype the crowd up to, like, get involved.
No, that's actually a good thing. That's actually a good thing whenever the face is getting the crowd behind them in the match. Okay. That is face 101.
Right.
So that's a good thing.
That's a good thing. Yeah, because I was like, man, why?
But it was so pretty dead. Yeah.
It was a little bit dead in some spots.
Yeah.
You know, I will admit to that. But overall, like, when the crowd was behind it, they were behind it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
When the crowd was not, mm-hmm. It was meh.
Yeah, it was a little of a lull, some lull moments. And that's not them really on the wrestlers or anything. I think they're just, you know, trying to hit their spots. And obviously, when it's a triple threat, there's, you know, a lot of ebb and flow. And
yeah.
Now, the one complaint I have, you know, yeah, Bianca was doing great getting the crowd behind her. Bayley was doing great with...
It's crazy because Bayley is the heel, obviously. The main heel of the match.
Which she should have brought more heat.
It's like people didn't really want to boo her, even though she was kind of doing what a heel should do to boo them.
It's because of that
ass. She was basically, you know, taunting the crowd. And yeah, exactly. It was the booty, that's packed full of booty is, you know?
Yep.
As someone once mentioned that you know, damn, looks like Bayley's been eating them booty-os.
The only thing I saw was that Tamina wasn't trying to get any additional heat on her.
Well, she's
more of a tweener, yeah, but, you know.
It's like she didn't really get heat, and she really didn't get, you know, pops. It was kind of, it was like no one really gave either way on it. And
it was kind of weird, but at the same time.
We were giving her a little pop and a little heat here and there, but.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, and the only one that anyone was really interested in was Bianca Belair, really.
Yeah.
That's the one that they were 100% behind, you know, giving the pops to.
Yeah. All right. So, I mean, overall, it was a great match.
Yes.
You know, some, as I mentioned before, some highs, some lows.
Yes.
But overall, damn good match by all three women. Mm-hmm. And this leaves me excited to see, you know, Bayley versus Bianca this coming Saturday.
Right.
So now we got to talk about the main event.
The main event, the main event.
Yep.
Which was
talk. It's time for the main event.
This is not AEW that we're talking about.
Oh yeah, you got to mention how we kept on trying to basically. There was that one dude who wore that AEW shirt, and I was like, "Hey, what are you doing in here?"
Oh, okay, yeah. Before we go, like, we were in line waiting to actually get to our seats and have our tickets checked and all that stuff, and someone pointed out someone wearing an AEW sweatshirt, and all eyes were fixed on that person. Everyone went silent.
It was like dad just slapped mama at the dinner table, you know? It was like, it's like, quack!
It was that eerie silence, almost like if someone was ready just... It was that calm before the storm, and you don't know what was about to happen. Thankfully, nothing did happen.
All right.
But anyways, let's talk about the main event.
Yes, so slight deviation from what people were expecting to be the main event, because... Yes. The advertised main event was supposed to be Seth Rollins versus Riddle, but obviously they shifted it because of that being a match now at the pay-per-view.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the premium live event.
Yeah.
Premium live event.
But anyways, it was for the United States Championship, which put the almighty Bobby Lashley versus Seth freaking Rollins.
Yes.
Now, Seth came out first. Mm-hmm. Oh, the crowd loved him.
Yes.
Everyone, including us, were just going with it.
We did the singing to his theme. Everyone did. That's expected.
Yeah, and Miss Stitch loved his fur jacket. Mm. So it makes me wonder where his boyfriend got it for him at.
That's not nice.
No,
don't say it about Pete Dunne.
Not nice.
We still love you, Seth. We're just saying that. But if anyway.
Don't kill me.
Yeah, please. Definitely, Pete.
We know you go by Butch now, but
yeah,
still love you.
But anywho, then of course when Bobby came out, the crowd was behind him too. Oh my God. And of course, Miss Stitch will be more than happy to add in her two cents. Hey, you said a lot of good gems during this entire show, so I'm just saying.
Yes. Please say.
No, we got to start off. We got to start off just with the first part of this match, which was one-on-one. Let's just say that this match went kind of crazy, and we're going to note a couple of things relating to
this main event. Became three matches in one.
It was a 3-1. Right? It was awesome.
Yes.
But anyways, for the first part, Monkey, the one-on-one, Seth freaking Rollins, Almighty Bobby Lashley, what did you think of that part?
It was very entertaining to watch. Again, the crowd was obviously firmly behind Bobby Lashley once he got to the ring. They played it pretty good. They did tease a little that, you know, Seth was doing his thing, but it went the way that was the best way to keep both people, I guess you can call it safe.
Yep.
Because it wasn't making one look way weaker than the other one, even though, Seth obviously was outpowered. There were some great spots with where they did the test of strength, and then Seth Rollins started climbing the turnbuckle, and then when he got up to the middle turnbuckle, Lashley stepped back, and then let go.
Great spot. It was awesome. Miss Stitch, what did you like about this first match out of three?
We probably can assume what you really, really liked about the match.
Yeah, go ahead.
But
go ahead.
Emphasis.
Trying to embarrass me.
It is an embarrassment. It's just that I love that you enjoyed the match.
And also his muscles.
Once again, folks, there are certain aesthetics.
Specific muscles. Yeah.
And that you see live as opposed to on TV.
Yes, I believe what I said was, I'm sorry, I love you, but damn, seeing those muscles in person really does something to a girl.
Which means, Bobby, you're going to be on her list for the cheat list volume 3 as well. Yeah. We're just putting
they're
it out
there.
They're
going to be like, who's Bobby Lashley? Google, Google, Google. Oh, wow. I understand now.
Yeah. But anyways, aside from that, is there anything else you liked about that first part?
Oh, it was entertaining as hell.
All right. D-Twizzle. That first part of the match, what did you like?
I liked it. I liked the intro. I mean, seeing Seth out there and him just being like the mustache villain.
Yes.
All hamming it up and stuff. He's like, hey, pull my hair.
Yeah.
You know, and then like Bobby Lashley, I'm like, I have the utmost respect for that too, because I know he's been through like quite the roller coaster with his career and stuff. And it's good to see him out there, you know, with the belt and everything like that. And, you know, doing his thing. So, and yeah, it is different seeing him in person. I'm like, man, that dude's huge. I think he was out and about walking, not like walking through the crowd, but I think we saw him earlier.
Actually, that wasn't him.
That was a security guard.
Oh, okay. Which I'm jokingly saying is probably his like cousin or something, because he's about the mirror image of him, just a little bit smaller.
Yep.
Just a little bit smaller.
Yeah, but yeah, that was cool. That was like, I like the entrance and everything. It's just good that they were able. He's one of those like redemption stories that I'm glad WWE was able to like pick him back up and really elevate him.
And it's way better than his "Me and Lana are together now."
Yeah,
we try not to remember that. All right. So although this match was good, it did go south with The Miz and Austin Theory
coming out of nowhere.
It ended in a DQ where Austin Theory came to the ring and hit Bobby Lashley with his
briefcase.
Contract, boink. Briefcase. So DQ. And then after that, Theory was ganging up on Lashley. And then for some odd reason, Miz came out there and was ganging up on him.
Which prompted Dolph Ziggler and Kevin Owens to come out.
Yes.
And make the save on behalf of Bobby. And you see the heels trying to scramble out. And then Kevin Owens gets on the stick.
Yes. Because again, with the Miz out there, the once again ever-popular chant happened.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. To which, you know, they were playing it up as the heels of covering up Miz's ears when they were chanting it. And to which Kevin Owens then replies, that tiny balls chant isn't just for him, it's for all three of you guys. Why don't you come back into this ring and we'll have a 3-on-3 match? Actually, it was Bobby Lashley that said, let's have a 3-on-3 match. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That Minuscule Balls one actually came later.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So the second part of this main event became a 6-man tag. Now, yes. During this time, the screen went off and now it became dark matches.
Right. So we can safely assume this probably means that if this Saturday night main event taping was an actual taping for the Saturday night main event show, these parts afterwards will not be on it.
Right. So, 6-man tag.
Right.
Miz, Austin Theory, Seth freaking Rollins versus the Almighty Bobby Lashley.
Kevin Owens.
And Dolph Ziggler. Monkey, what did you like about this second half of the match?
This match went pretty smoothly as well. It was very entertaining. They played up both sides like they should have. You know, the heels got the heat on the baby faces, and the baby faces were mounting their comebacks, and then they get cut off by the heels. This is where it started to get a little bit more into the. There was that 12-year-old kid in the front row that was trying to kill Austin Theory again.
Mm-hmm.
And it went very, very smoothly and just carried on to a very intriguing thing.
Yeah.
But the crowd loved it, and, you know, obviously it ended the way that we didn't want it to end, and that's what led into the third part of it.
Mm-hmm. All right, Miss Stitch, what are your thoughts about the match?
It was fun. It was a lot of fun. But then seeing, because it was getting hit with a chair, that was the thing that moved it, right?
I think actually they hit him with the briefcase again.
Yep.
It was a briefcase again.
Yes, okay. Yep. Mm-hmm. And this time it was briefcase on Kevin Owens, I believe.
Yep.
That's why Kevin Owens got on mic.
Yep.
No, okay. Got it. Yeah.
Right. D-Twizzle, your turn.
No, second part was good, you know, get a chance to kind of work everybody around. Like you said, everyone kind of got a little bit of heat, a little bit of, you know, momentum, all that stuff going on, back and forth. And, you know, I did like the fact that, like, you know, with the heels, they'd be like, you know what, I ain't trying to deal with all this stuff. And everyone's, like, booing and everything. It did feel like something straight out of, like, a you know, like a scene from, like, movies and stuff. They're like, you know what, this is ridiculous. I'm not doing any of, you know, I don't deserve to be here, you know, type of thing. But, no, it was awesome. I definitely liked the little banter and back and forth and stuff, at least with the second part of the match.
So, as we mentioned, sorry, I have jelly beans in my mouth, but as we mentioned, DQ finish on the second half.
Right.
Hill's trying to leave again. Kevin Owens gets on the mic. Classic Kevin Owens promo.
Yes.
Just ripped into them. And pretty much to the extent of, you know what? I like a fight. You like a fight? I like a fight. All these people want to see a fight, so let's fight. Let's make this no DQ. Hill's trying to leave. Kevin Owens like, you know what? Let's just get these tiny, tiny bald bastards.
The minuscule testicles.
Yeah, it's a small. They call them like Team Small Nuts. Like, hey, yeah. Hey, Team Small Nuts.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's
like, nice.
And then they did the comic of like everybody covering each other's ears.
Yeah, yes. That was pretty.
It was the three-way ear cover.
Three-way ear cover between the
hear no evil.
Yep, and then the fight began, and it became no DQ. Monkey, what did you like about this?
Very entertaining. It was kind of hard to follow at this point because they actually ended up fighting into the crowd, which we think it's going to be involved in. But, yeah. You know, it was very entertaining to watch them, trying to keep track of who was where. I believe Owens and Miz made it back to the ring.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And they were actually fighting in the ring while Theory was fighting off with Ziggler, other than Lashley, and Rollins was on the opposite end of us. So kind of trying to watch all three of these little miniature matches going on at once was kind of hard to do. And of course, I mean, the screens were darkened out, so you know it made it even harder to watch. But
yeah.
It was still entertaining, and they did get into the aspect of started to bring in the plunder, as they call it back in the day, where they brought in some chairs, and then later on they brought another table, so that got the crowd all riled up. It was good time.
Yep. Miss Stitch, what did you think about the third part of this main event?
It was great. I also really enjoyed the part where they were using the popcorn as a weapon.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yep. Yeah.
I think that was Dolph.
Yeah, Dolph.
Dolph had the popcorn. He was like, yeah. And then you just see, like, popcorn flying. And yeah. I think they were, like, throwing water at Pete, too.
Yeah. All right. D-Twizzle, what do you think?
No, I think that was pretty cool. I like how they kind of went through that whole transition with everything, and like you said, at first it was a little bit crazy, and like you're trying to watch any and everything or what's all going on, and like I think it helped definitely that the venue is only so big, so right. it's not like they're gonna get too crazy, but no, I like that aspect, because I was like, you know, and they threw out the chairs, and then like the crescendo finish was pretty cool too.
Yeah.
So, and it probably couldn't happen to a better person, to be honest. So
let's talk about the ending, because pretty much Miz and Seth were out of the ring.
Well, first it was...
Let's go ahead.
So first they all ended up coming back to the ring, and it came to a point where the heels were getting heat on the babyfaces. They were beating out Bobby Lashley outside, and I believe Owens had set up some chairs in the ring at one point, and to which he was teasing a powerbomb, or teasing a suplex. No, he was teasing a powerbomb.
So and remember,
he got suplexed into the chairs.
Yeah,
that's what took him down. So then they were working on Bobby Lashley, and that's when they brought the table into the ring, set up in the corner, and then at that point,
the shield pose.
The heels did the tiny ball shield pose. So we'll call them the cup. At that point, so they'll be the cup, you know, and so they were teasing doing the shield bomb into the table on Lashley, to which then the babyfaces all got back in the ring, and started to dismantle everyone, and as things kind of broke down, everyone else ended up getting out of the ring, leaving Theory solo in the ring against the three babyfaces,
which became a beautiful race to the finish spot.
Yep.
Where Austin got hit with three finishers, starting off with Dolph Ziggler's super kick,
yep,
following into Kevin Owens' stunner, and then being speared through the table by Bobby Lashley, where he got the cover, yep, and the 1, 2, 3, with the faces standing victorious. And my God, I think we can all agree the crowd ate that one up.
Yes.
Yeah.
And just seeing how Dolph and Bobby and, you know, Kevin just, you know, just going and talking to the crowd and everything. There was a spot where a kid wanted to take a picture with Dolph with the phone. Dolph took the phone and was, like, trying to talk on
it. Actually, no, I think that the kid was talking to someone on the phone and was going to, like, kind of do, like kind of video chat with someone, but then Dolph took the phone and started talking on the phone to whoever was on the phone. It's like, hey, how's it going? Yeah.
And then came back and they took the selfie. So overall, I mean, with that match, with all three segments, Monkey, what did you think?
Very entertaining. Again, the first two finishes were obviously a good setup, and they kept the baby faces safe. It did, you know, get the crowd heated up, which is what they wanted to do, so they can do the encore. And it did work out very well, and the crowd was happy at the end, and very, very good, and very, very entertaining to watch.
All right. Miss Stitch, what did you think overall?
I had a great time watching that, and, like, as I was showing you, I did take video of that, yes, whole last part of them, like, setting up to have Bobby go through the table and having Theory go through it instead. So, like, I have a great little memento of, like, actually getting to see somebody go through a table.
Yes.
Nice. All right. D-Twizzle?
No, it was a really good time. Like I said, first time really at any type of live event. But, you know, I'll be honest, it does make me even more stoked whenever I do get a chance to go see an AEW event live and stuff. Because, I mean, if it's anything like how, you know, what we saw, you know, I think it'll even be even better, you know. So it gets me even more excited for that type of stuff. Because I think my biggest thing I was worried about is, like, I'm so used to, you know, hearing commentary and stuff like that throughout, like, the matches and things like that, that I wonder, like, man, you know, it's going to be, like, quiet for the most part, you know, and they're going to be doing their thing. And I think the biggest thing that I took away from it was, like, how loud the ring is. I was like, geez, that thing's brutal as heck. Like, you don't hear that when you're watching it on TV. Like, you might, but when you're there in the audience and you hear them slam, you're like, ah. And, like, even I would get kind of, it kind of helps sell whenever they do get slammed like that.
Yeah.
Because that looks painful.
Shake as much, too.
Yeah.
Take it from me, a monkey, it doesn't feel like a bed of roses.
Oh, yeah. No,
it definitely doesn't. But, you know, all right, so.
It could be worse. It could be Dirty Dan's rings.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I think I got slammed and broke a board on that ring.
Yeah.
Yeah, whenever we went to.
That was a solid ring, man.
Whenever we went to IWF South Dakota.
Yeah.
Whenever we did that. But anyways, now it's time for overall consensus of the entire event. Rating from 1 to 4. Monkey, starting with you. 1 to 4, what did you think about Saturday night main event?
I would say it was a solid 3.75. And that's only because the matches were obviously pretty predictable. It was meant to keep the crowds happy. I would have liked to see a little more, you know, I want to say a variety of win losses. Like, I was expecting some other things in some of the things, but it went pretty much how it should have gone to keep the crowd happy.
Right.
And, again, just some of the matches, I still say that the highlight match of the night was definitely two matches that were the main highlights outside of the main event, which were the Usos and Alpha Academy, because they started out pretty hot. And then the Ziggler versus Miz match were probably the two major highlights of the night, because, again, those two matches had the most crowd interaction.
Yes, yes. All right, Miss Stitch, from 1 to 4, how would you rate your first experience with WWE?
I will go with a 4, since I have nothing to base it off of, and I had, like I said, I had the best time. Like, I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know who was going to be out there at all. Yeah. And so when it came out, I was like, yeah, let's do this.
Nice. It was great. All right, D-Twizzle, your rating from 1 to 4. What did you think overall about Saturday night main event in Bismarck, North Dakota?
I'll give it a 3. You know, it was nice for the production that they were able to do. You know, you do get the sense of the house show. It was intimate. It's kind of like what I expected to be. Like, nothing like too crazy, not a lot of bells and whistles, but, you know, a little bit of crowd reaction and be able to get people, you know, just a taste, you know, of what, you know, their product is and things like that. And they did a good job of actually feeling entertained. I didn't walk away from there feeling like disappointed or anything like that.
So I'm going to have to agree with Monkey and give it a 3.75. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, there were some predictable moments because, you know, you've seen the match with Theory and Owens quite a bit of times. And, you know, yeah, it was a very babyface show.
Right.
With all the faces winning, which, okay, fine. That's understandable. It did keep the crowd happy.
Right.
There were a couple of spots here and there that were meh. You know, and yeah, we wanted to see Dexter Lumis.
Yes.
You know, I know D-Twizzle would love to see Nikita Lyons, but we're not doing an NXT show.
Yeah, it's not that kind of family show. So eventually that would have happened, and probably
well, we got
you would have been like, oh, hey, there's...
Snuck away and we wouldn't have found him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He'd be like, where did D-Twizzle go? Wait, he's climbing over the barrack.
Yeah. We'll find him the next day, clothes all ripped up, lipstick smear all over his face. He's like, I had a wonderful time. All
right, you should see what happened to the other.
But overall, I mean, I love the show. It was very excellent, you know. But The only real downside that I saw with it, and you know, this is not taking anything away from the superstars and you know everything that happened. The one takeaway that I had is that we didn't pay for the goddamn VIP experience. That's the only takeaway I have. If I would have known that they were going to do the VIP takeaway, and yeah, the tickets were like $504 a pop,
oof,
I would have saved money.
Yeah, why didn't you buy me a VIP experience?
If I was going to buy it, if I was going to buy the experience, I would have bought it for all of us.
Yeah,
which would be about $2,000, but oof. You know, it's one of those things. Just you know, it just would have been fun to meet everyone,
right?
But now we got to shift gears here.
Shift.
Because, as we know, this Saturday is WWE Extreme Rules streaming live on the Peacock service.
The cock.
Yep, it's streaming on the cock. So.
Proper time.
God damn it.
Sponsored by Proper Number 12.
It's like sitting next to Monkey and then dating a female version of Monkey. What did I put myself into? Anyways.
The best kind of position.
Oh my.
Anyways, so we do got to talk about the matches and some of the interesting information that has came up with these.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to start off with a match that was recently mentioned on SmackDown, which is going to be the good old-fashioned Donnybrook match, the Brawling Brutes versus Imperium. Mm-hmm. Now, as we know, Gunther was challenged for his Intercontinental title against Sheamus. And the match pretty much...
That's going to take place this Friday on SmackDown coming up.
Yeah. So that's going to be interesting to see what happens with that. And mm-hmm. it's going to lead into Extreme Rules.
Right.
Where Imperium, Brawling Brutes, they're going to pretty much get it on and get down dirty. And they're going to fight.
Whoa. Oh,
not in that fight, sense. Okay. Not in the AEW sense.
A&W. I got A&W. Danhausen.
Danhausen. What we're going to do real quick... Round table.
All right. This table's kind of like...
You know what I mean, Monkey.
Perpendicular.
But each of us are going to give our prediction on who's going to win this match. And I know, Miss Stitch, you pretty much watch the shows whenever me and Monkey watch them. But, and you probably... I mean, you've probably seen Brawling Brutes and Imperium, but don't know too much about them. So, you know, just...
Just wing it.
I'll do this like I do my football picks. I like this one because they're a Greek mythology thing.
This one sounds cool.
Yeah. All right, so...
How is a dolphin going to be a tiger in a match?
Yeah.
Tigers, obviously. Come on.
All right, so...
Totally take a tiger.
So, Monkey, starting off with you. Brawling Brutes versus Imperium. Who do you got?
Oh, this is going to be a good one. Just based on how they've been going so far, I'm going to say... that the Brawling Brutes are probably going to get this one because they have been pretty much on the downside on a lot of the matches that they've had so far. So it's time to, quote-unquote, flip it so that the Brawling Brutes will get the win on this one. And that's what I'm seeing on this match.
All right. Miss Stitch, what do you think?
I'm agreeing. The Brutes, I like them.
All right.
They're scrappy and fun.
All right. D-Twizzle, Brawling Brutes, Imperium, who do you got?
I'm going to go along the same boat and just... go with the Brutes as well.
And as a side note, I'm going to add in my prediction of Kaiser's going to take the pinfall. And then afterwards, Gunther's probably going to kick his ass again. But, yeah. You know, just because he does it.
So, my prediction is because due to the fact of this match, and it does favor the Brawling Brutes. Mm-hmm. I mean, as you know, the good old-fashioned Donnybrook match is also known as the Shillelagh match.
Street Fight Shillelagh match.
Yeah, so, you know... The Brawling Brutes, this is their weapon. This is their choice of match. There's going to be punching. There's going to be biting. There's going to be fighting. And there's going to be drinking.
There's going to be shillelaghs everywhere. Shillelaghs, as far as the eye can see.
Small shillelaghs, big shillelaghs. Shillelaghs the size of your head.
Oh my.
But anyways, I'm going to give it to the Brawling Brutes as well. So all four of us agree, Brawling Brutes for this match.
Rudy.
The second match is going to be the strap match. Drew McIntyre versus Karrion Kross. Now, we know that these two individuals definitely have some bad blood.
Mm-hmm.
So, Monkey, starting off with you, McIntyre or Kross?
The way I see this match going, just because of the proposed plans going forward here, is Karrion Kross is probably going to take this match, just because they are focusing on him becoming the next major contender for the Undisputed Universal Tag Team Champion I-94 title of the world.
The Undisputed Heavyweight Championship, folks.
That too.
Just go with that.
Universal title.
So you're picking Kross?
Yes.
All right. Miss Stitch, your pick, Drew McIntyre or Karrion Kross?
I'd just like to see Drew win it.
Understandable.
I'm a fan of him.
Understandable. All right, D-Twizzle, Kross or McIntyre? Who you got?
I got Kross for this one. I think, like they, like Monkey said, they do need to build up on the momentum of trying to get him to be the next, quote-unquote, challenger. So he's going to have to knock off one of the bigger dudes on the show.
Now, the only thing I see, like, as much as I want to pick Drew, because, you know, I'm a big fan of Drew's.
Yeah.
I know that Kross will go over. But that leaves to a small conundrum. Because you have to think, if he's going to go for the title, A, when does he go for the title? B, who's going to hold the title? And C, are they still planning?
Going to hold the title? Who's going to be holding the title?
But because you have to think, there's still the rumors and speculations that the title will be split somewhere down the line.
That's a lot of rumory.
But
they're not going to do it.
Because the reason why I'm asking is because Kross is a heel.
Yes.
Roman is right now living his best life as a heel.
Even though he's not being looked like a heel. People love him.
Yeah. So my thing is, is this going to be one of those matches on who out-heels the other? So that's my biggest concern with this, because if he is going to go for the world title, either A, he should be turned into a tweener more towards face, or Roman is Roman. I mean, people can't hate him.
They hate him, but they love him. They love to hate him.
You know, exactly.
And he loves to fight.
Or Roman drops the title.
Yeah.
Beforehand. So there, to me, there's just a lot of what ifs with this one, but I'm going to give it to Karrion, honestly. And I'm going to call it that there's going to be some shenanigans involving Scarlett.
Shenanigans.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That would happen in the Shillelagh match.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, the third match that we do have to discuss is the I Quit match between Edge and Finn Balor. Monkey.
Yes.
Edge or Balor? Who you got?
Well, this is going to be the interesting part of it, where Edge is probably going to win, but there is probably going to be some shenanigans on this one as well at the end, afterwards.
Yeah.
Because Edge is still technically on his limited contract, where he's only doing so many shows a year. So it will be probably Edge winning it, but then being, quote-unquote, taken out again, or at least, you know, pushed off to the sideline for a while.
Okay, Miss Stitch. Finn versus Edge.
I would go with Edge. And kind of with the same reasoning Monkey has.
Okay.
I also don't know what an I Quit match is going to.
So, you know, pretty much it's a no disqualification match.
DQ.
Yeah, no DQ match. And the entire idea is to get your opponent to say, I quit. So a match that is designed to bring a lot of pain. So, D-Twizzle, Finn versus Edge, I Quit match. Who do you got?
I'm going to go with Finn. I think something tells me they're getting ready to do that momentum push for him. And I think him being able to get a win over Edge will definitely do that, bring some legitimacy to the whole Judgment Day experiment thing that they're trying to do, trying to make themselves legit, you know, a force to be reckoned with. So I think this will kind of be like the capstone for it. So
you already know they're a force to be reckoned with. They got Mama Rhea on there.
Yeah, Mama Ripley is the force. Mm-hmm. See? Ask Dom.
Dom in the Dom.
You got something on your mind, Sally?
So, if it's no DQ, does that mean the others can interfere as much as they want?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know what? I'm going to split the room here because I'm going to agree. I'm going to agree with D-Twizzle on this. Mainly due to the fact that there has been talk and discussion that they are getting ready to give Finn Balor a huge push. Because, you know, he is two-time, you know, universal champion.
He's one time.
Oh, one-time universal champion.
He was initial universal champion.
So seeing him get a push is going to be wonderful for his career. You know, Triple H is high on him. Mm-hmm. Stephanie is high on him. It was Vince that didn't see him as a main event caliber individual.
Actually, Vince didn't.
Initially, but then after the injury. Got injured,
but yeah.
Yeah. Which, you know, that's Vince-ism 101.
Yeah.
You know.
It's like he got hurt during the match. What the heck is he thinking?
Yeah.
Oh, there he's not worthy.
If he was 6'4", 270, that would never happen.
Yeah, look as Psycho said. Anyways. But.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm gonna split the room with this one. I'm going to say Finn as well. There will be shenanigans involved, of course. And I think the shenanigans are mostly going to come from Dom closer to the end. So that's what I see. And also this does allow for Edge to take some time off again. Because, you know, they're going to be filming Viking season, whatever it is, here pretty soon. All right, so the next match that we do have to talk about, which does have a little bit of news, is the Fight Pit match. Seth Rollins versus Matt Riddle with special guest referee, former UFC two division champion, being heavyweight and light heavyweight, Daniel Cormier, being the special guest referee. So this is something that is very crazy because Daniel's always wanted to do stuff with WWE. Mm-hmm. I mean, he did show up to a couple of WrestleManias. They did tease some stuff. Daniel Cormier is, of course, a collegiate wrestler turned MMA fighter. And as I mentioned, dual champion, light heavyweight and heavyweight. And there has been a lot of talks with him crossing over into the UFC. He's one of the top coaches in American Kickboxing Association. The man is phenomenal, and he does have, like, a lot of accolades. Now, Monkey.
Yes, that's me.
Your opinion on this match, and I think a light bulb turned on, and I see where it's about to happen.
I thought of something because of something else. But so on the match specifically, I'm going to give this one to Rollins, actually, is what I'm going to give this one to. Because it will be a very hard-hitting match because it is kind of almost essentially a no-DQ match. And the only way to win is by knockout or submission. And, again, we all know that Seth Rollins is very, very crafty at everything he does. So he can use everything to his advantage. But my light bulb that went off was because there have been talks that Brock Lesnar is supposed to have a match at Crown Jewel.
Yeah.
And with Daniel Cormier being there, because they were trying to set up a match with him before, I believe, in UFC.
Yeah.
But that didn't happen because something happened or not. But that would probably be his opponent at Crown Jewel, Daniel Cormier and Brock Lesnar.
And I was thinking about that as well. I've been thinking about that like once this announcement kicked off. Mm-hmm. Because Daniel, in an interview, said, I'll take Brock on in the octagon. I'll take him on in a WWE ring. I'll take him on in a boxing ring. Doesn't matter. I will take him on.
Yes.
And now we did see Brock versus another one of his UFC foes, so to speak, being Cain Velasquez.
Yeah.
And, you know, unfortunately, Cain did get injured, and he was released from WWE, and now he's in jail for the concern. Yeah, we'll talk about that another time. But your pick is going to be Seth Rollins, right?
Yes.
All right. Miss Stitch, Rollins or Riddle? Who do you got?
I think Rollins. Just because he's a devious little bastard. He's going to be able to do whatever he wants.
He'll take that fur coat and suffocate.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now the thing is about a fight pit, there are no weapons involved in the fight pit.
Yeah.
But, you know, any type of strike is allowed with the exception of fish hooking, hitting to the groin. So, in a way, it's almost like old school UWF.
I thought fish hooking was legal.
No.
Because I could have swore someone got fish hooked during one of the matches before.
Check the rules for Fight Pit real quick while we're discussing.
I don't know how to check rules. I don't do rules.
But anyways, D-Twizzle, your turn. Rollins or Riddle?
I'm actually going to go with Riddle with this one. I feel like with them trying to put him into like this Fight Pit thing, I feel like they want to really lean into his whole UFC background for Riddle. And that at the same time, I feel like this is, you know, them trying to put the cap, the kebab on this rivalry that's going on. So I feel like ultimately Riddle will get the upper hand with this one and be able to walk out the victor. Now, I just say that just because of how I feel the winds are moving for him, pushing him towards that victory. It kind of reminds me when they did the whole... What, the whole Wardlow and
MJF?
No, not MJF, but the other guy, the other big dude from JAS. It's like Owens? No.
Oh, Hager?
Hager, yeah, the Hager and Wardlow thing. At least yeah. That's how I'm picturing it in my mind. I could be totally wrong when they go to the, when the show comes on, but that's the way I'm thinking. I think Riddle will get the win.
So... This one is difficult because already Seth has won how many matches against Riddle officially? One, two? I think
two,
one.
One, give or take-ish.
Because they didn't wrestle in SummerSlam.
Yeah.
They didn't wrestle in...
Clash of the Castle.
They did wrestle. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, they wrestled at Clash of the Castle.
So, in a way, I think this is going to be more of a... It's going to be one of those ones that... I think Riddle is going to win just to tie them off. But yet there will be a rubber match between the two.
That sounds dirty.
Okay, so what a rubber match is, Miss Stitch, is when one person wins one match, another person wins the second match between the two. The third one is the final match. So I think it's going to be one of those moments where Riddle wins. And it is going to go into a rubber match because the next big pay-per-view is Survivor Series. And that's coming up in November. So that's my thought. There will be one more match after this because Riddle's going to win. So the next match that we do have to talk about, and we talked about... Oh, wait, did you find the rules for the Fight Pit?
I'm trying to find it, but it's very convoluted and everything else. That sounds like work.
All right, so the next match we do have to talk about is the Raw Women Championship ladder match pitting Bianca Belair versus Bayley, or as we like to call it, the Battle of the Asses in pay-per-view.
Booty-o battle pay-per-view.
All right, so Monkey, your thoughts, Bianca versus Bayley, who do you think is going to win?
Well, whether it's a think or a like or a want to see win, I want to see Bayley win this one personally because it's always better for having the babyface chasing the title than it is to have him keep the title. And Bianca has held onto the title for good, almost 8 months, 9 months, almost a year.
Because
she got it back at...
SummerSlam.
Well, she got back before then. She got back at WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So she's held the title for about a good 6-8 months here. So, you know, no disrespect to Bianca Belair. She is doing really good. But Bayley becoming the champion, then basically making the female version of the Bloodline there with the damage control and her holding all the women's titles, then makes it... The fight and chase for the women's titles outside of the, you know, SmackDown women's title at that point, obviously. So, and that's the reason why it would look better with Bayley as the women's champion, just so is the Bianca Belair pulling herself back up to go to fight for it again. Or at this point, giving another babyface a chance to chase after it.
Okay. Miss Stitch, your thoughts?
I want Bianca to keep it. Because I just like watching her. She's so much fun.
Okay. D-Twizzle, your thoughts?
Yep, I'm sick of the same boat, too. I think Bianca will pull this out. I don't think she will drop it just yet. But, I mean, I feel like it'll happen, but not yet. I think they're still letting the whole Bayley-Bianca thing still kind of cook for a little bit longer.
So, I'm going to split the room on this one. Bayley is going to end up winning because of three specific things. One, interference by damage control. Two, Becky Lynch will possibly be coming back before WrestleMania, which sets up for Bayley versus Becky, which every time that they've interacted and everything, they've always had great matches. And with Becky coming back as the man and not as big time Bex or Becky Gaga, or whatever the hell, is going to open up one hell of a dynamic to see what happens. The third thing is, this does open up for either Bianca to chase the belt or another babyface to chase the belt. Or, hear me out.
No hearing. No outing.
Because here pretty soon, Mandy Rose is going to be dropping the NXT women's title. And they're alluding to it because, you know, Alba Fire.
Right.
She's going to get the damn title.
She should, is what my personal
thing. She better. That's my personal thing. She better. But there's already been talks about moving Mandy and the entirety of Toxic Attraction up.
Right. Which they keep pulling and then pulling out. Pulling out. Oh my.
So, what would happen if we put Toxic Attraction versus Damage Control somewhere down the line?
Damage Control would kill them? I mean, sorry.
Not that we're playing favorites or anything, but but I foresee something like that occurring.
Well, and then the other fact is, you know, Bayley and Damage Control need to keep red hot to keep them relevant. If Bayley loses this title match, it does put a kibosh on Damage Control, even though they are the current tag team champions. You saw how that looked when they lost the tag team tournament. They had to quickly turn it around and give them the titles, because if they lost that, then at that point it was like, boom, that was the end of anything that was going to Damage Control.
Exactly.
And this is, you know, Bayley's, technically Bayley's baby on this, because she wanted this before and McMahon wouldn't sign off on it before.
Thank God for Triple H.
Yes, and then that's why they brought back Dakota Kai.
Which at this point, I would like to say, thank you, Triple H.
Thank you, Triple H. You're almost like Axel Braun. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Triple H. Hey, man, good job.
What the hell?
Twizzle, stop looking at those pictures in the key lines. Those are deep fakes.
No,
they're real.
No, they're mine. You keep your eyes over there. She didn't mean.
I can see through your eyes.
No.
While Miss Stitch is looking at pictures of Bianca's ass.
She's like, called out? What?
Anyways, let's go to the main event of the night for this pay-per-view. Being the SmackDown Women's Championship Extreme Rules match, Liv Morgan being the champion versus Ronda Rousey being the challenger.
I don't know.
You know what, D-Twizzle, I'm going to start with you. You go ahead and give your thoughts on this.
I don't, my heart of hearts really kind of want Rousey to win. Nothing against Liv Morgan. I think she's had a good run, but I think it's time. I think she'll drop it. I can't even picture Liv having like the demeanor to even be like in a Extreme Rules. I'd be curious to even see how that turns out. You know, but I'm expecting Rousey to pull this one out.
Okay.
Pull it down and whip her with it. But.
Wow. You know, Ronda does have bigger balls than most of the guys in the company. But anyways, Miss Stitch, your choice. Liv versus Ronda.
As much as I like watching Liv, I don't think she's going to keep it.
All right. Monkey.
Right. Well, in consensus here, I think it is going to be Ronda Rousey. And the speculation that I've been seeing, and it was teased at least a couple weeks ago, is probably Shayna Baszler going to be involved in it. Because it is looking like a reforming of kind of the Four Horsewomen-ish team, but of MMA. But it might be a little different, you know, build here. But I can see Ronda Rousey getting the title from her and it being because of some kind of interference with Shayna Baszler, even though we all know, in all technicality, that Ronda Rousey does have more of the ability to do it on her own. It just makes it look a little bit better because, you know, let's face it, Ronda Rousey as a babyface is good for a little bit, but her as a heel, people will love to hate her because she's just that credible, and that's what makes it more easy to hate her.
True. You know, I'm going to have to agree with y'all to a certain extent. Ronda should win this.
Right. Should.
But.
She better. Or else.
But. Right. I just have this weird feeling that Liv is going to win due to the fact that Shayna is going to do something to Ronda. It's one of those things that I've just been thinking about. Because, you know, Ronda's, you know, telling Shayna, hey, you know, we should get back, be a team. Whenever you're ready to break bones, come find me. What if Shayna is getting tired of being called Ronda Rousey Light?
Well, that was Liv Morgan calling her that.
Even more reason.
But a lot of people agree with it. Yeah. A lot of people agree with it. In a way, Shayna is in Ronda's shadow. Mm. So what if during Extreme Rules, Shayna does come out? It does look like she's coming out for Ronda. But then the swerve happens. She hits Ronda. Liv gets the pin. And it starts a program to see who's the best female shooter in WWE between those two. What you got?
Or Shayna helps Ronda win.
Yeah.
And then Shayna turns around like, okay, now you owe me.
Oh.
I do like that.
I could have a number one contenders match.
Well, if Ronda wins it, that means Shayna would be
first dibs.
Which would be interesting to see. Because now you have to think, who the hell is going to be the face in this situation?
Me.
Granted, with Ronda, how they're booking her right now, she is the female version of Stone Cold Steve Austin. Like, if you really think about it, everything that they're doing is textbook Stone Cold versus Vince McMahon attitude era.
Minus the beer.
Minus the beer. Because Adam Pearce is that authority figure that she's having issues with, and vice versa. So I could see Ronda winning it. And if she does go up against Shayna, she's going to be the face because of this newly built, newly minted Stone Cold mentality that they put her with. So I'm interested to see what happens.
I'll show you what happens.
Not that type of show.
This Saturday.
But yeah.
She's going to be extreme.
So it is going to be an interesting show overall. Now, granted, we don't know if there's going to be any pre-show matches because, you know, last pay-per-view, they actually had one pre-show match.
Right.
And I think they're beginning to get back into that, unless if that was just for Clash of the Castle. Who knows? But I guess we'll find out this coming Saturday whenever we watch.
Right. And if any more matches get announced, because it does seem kind of like a short card.
Yep, I mean, there was what, six? Five matches? No, wait.
I can't count, so don't look at me.
Brawling Brutes.
Karrion Kross. Strap match. Hit match. And then the two women matches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Proper five.
Proper five.
told you.
Proper five match card.
So there's probably enough room to announce at least one more match, if not two more matches, probably this week sometime. Yeah,
probably. I could see seven matches.
Make it seven?
Lucky number seven.
Yar.
So, overall, folks, what do y'all think about this card? Like, honest opinions.
It's all right. I'll give it about a C plus.
C++.
See what they do with it.
Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't see, the thing is, I wouldn't grade it yet. Like, this is just in terms of anticipation. Do y'all think this is, because you have to think, we can't grade something we haven't watched yet.
Right.
Sure I can.
That would be like
speculation.
See, I don't want to speculate anything.
I'll show you speculation.
No, we predicted.
We made a prediction.
We made predictions.
Yes.
Because then it also needs to open up for the accumulation of the white rabbit thing. It's supposed to happen at Extreme Rules. Mm-hmm. So that's why there needs to be at least something that would involve that popping off. And, again, the two matches so far announced that something could possibly happen where they can accumulate that at would be either the fight pit match or the strap match.
Yeah, I could see something with
because both of them would be, well, at least, you know, if it's being the way speculation being, you know, Bray Wyatt being the White Rabbit thing or Fiend or whatever, the history with Rollins would be a reason for it to pop up in the fight pit match.
Yep.
Now, the strap match, though, the speculation for that happening in the strap match is because that is essentially the next build for the number one contender for the Universal World title. And that's why that would be a part where it could pop out. But outside of that, something else could be needed to make it pop off. And that's why that's at least one more match, I think, is going to need to be announced in here.
Well, they can either announce it Monday.
I'll show you Monday.
Or they'll announce it on Friday. But I guess
why not Tuesday?
Have it be an NXT match?
Ooh.
Never know.
Nah.
Braun Strowman shows up on Extreme Rules.
Braun Strowman.
Oh, sorry. Braun Breaker, sorry. Meatheads.
It's going to be Braun versus Braun. The Battle of the Bronze.
Yeah,
brains over bronze.
All right, so.
Yes.
This has been a good episode.
I'll show you a good episode.
We're now talking about AEW, bud.
And that's why I'm talking about a good episode.
Anyways, I'd like to thank my co-host, the man, the myth, the legend, Monkey.
It's me.
The first lady of Internet Wonderland, Miss Sally Stitch.
That's her.
And the sexual chocolate of Internet Wonderland, D-Twizzle.
That's me.
Oh, yeah.
For joining me tonight on Traversing the Digital Airwaves, as we discussed our experiences going to a WWE live event and our predictions for Extreme Rules 2022. With all that being said, this has been another episode of Cheshire's Place, A Looking Glass in a Logical Madness. I have been your host, the melodious one, Mr. Cheshire. And just as my namesake, the Cheshire Cat, I am everywhere, yet nowhere. Stay tuned for upcoming episodes. Have a good night. ¶¶